Hello.
Hello.
Am I
There's no
wrong?
squeaky voice this time. There, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was fully expecting to be a robot, so I hadn't even plugged my headphones in or anything.
I've been.
It just consistently happens, doesn't it? So.
It seems to happen more when you call me as opposed to when I call you.
I don't understand the logistics of it.
No, I don't think anyone does.
Well, nobody else knows about it. So
Good
if
point.
you don't understand and I don't understand, then well, that's it.
Listen, I've been awake for about 20 minutes. Cut me some
Nice.
slack.
I've watching
Right.
0-1.
Any good?
Surprisingly so, yeah. Because
You're like
normally
the.
their undercard's awful, and then the last two matches are really good. But they had like a Strong Hearts trios match on the undercard, so like I've already gone 4 stars once on the show, and like there's
Nice.
still the two main events to go. So
Is it that 1-1 show?
yeah.
Because that's normally the only 0-1 I watch, and I think it's like the only one that consistently makes tape, isn't it?
The Shrine Show usually makes tape. So the one that, I guess it was October, that made tape. And I'm pretty sure it made tape the year before.
Yeah, but wasn't it in really bad quality or something? I remember this.
The last one was fine, and the one before it was garbage.
I think it must be. I tried to watch that one. It was really bad and just gave up.
Yeah, that's 2018, I think. It just
Yeah.
the picture quality was so bad. It's like Nico Pro, and they're just ugh.
Right. Anyway,
Should we talk about like New Japan? Because like we've got two big shows and some of the little bits and bobs.
yeah, I think what we'll do is. Let's do a quick overview of both shows and just the weekend overall. And then the matches we want to talk about a bit more, we'll go a bit more in depth. Because, like, I don't have anything to say about, like, the fucking six-man tag or whatever. The night one multi-man,
So
eight-man tag.
you don't have a lot of hot takes on Hiroki Goto, Ishii, Yano, and Yoshihashi against the Bullet Club.
No, surprisingly, no.
I wrote like 2 sentences about that match. It's just what's this doing on here? Yeah, do you want to talk about Tessa Blanchard as well or not?
If we have time, we'll bring it up, but I think it's still a very ongoing situation.
What, her being trash?
No, her being trash has been known for years and years and years. Like, there's always been stories of her being unprofessional, and that's why WWE never touched her. But I think the stuff that's starting to come out now, because it literally just happened last night, there's not a huge amount. We can mention it, but I assume this is recording, so
No, of course it is, yeah.
this is part of us mentioning it. I think because the pay-per-view is still tonight, you want to see how Impact actually reacts to all of this.
Well,
It's still
Impact is
a.
generally a promotion that just books trash anyway. I mean, their champion Sami Callihan, they've got Elgin, they've got Moose. I mean, I don't think Moose has actually done anything wrong other than just generally being terrible, but
No. He's a domestic abuser.
oh, is he?
Yeah,
There you go.
yeah.
Yeah, so it's literally the company that just books trash, which
Yeah.
is why I don't watch it. I watch one
Yeah.
Impact show a year. It's the one on Mania weekend, and that's it.
I think it was Slammiversary a couple years ago that
I remember you
got
saying and
really.
going like, "Oh, you need to watch this show because it's actually a good Impact show," and I'm like, "But I don't want to."
Yeah, since then it's really dropped off. Because like they've lost LAX, they've lost a bunch of people, and replaced them with Sami Callihan friends.
It's not a promotion I've enjoyed since, well, 2010, I guess. It's just not for me. And yeah, they just book terrible people. I'm not even sure what the main event tonight is Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, which I think most people assume Tessa is winning the title. But obviously,
There's
with
a
what's
theory.
happened.
There's a theory that Sami Callihan has put a hit out on Tessa Blanchard so that someone does a number on her on the day of the show so he doesn't job.
I know, it's the funniest thing in the
I
world.
love wrestling.
And the thing is, it's not even like a random guy on Reddit that said this theory. It's Rover. So there's at least some, like, there's some credence to it,
I
which is
normally like he'll
amazing.
just be really vague about it, but look, he's come out and said it is funny to me.
It's glorious. Right, I think let's just go straight into the main event. Let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
That's what people are here for.
Want to talk about night one or night two or what?
What did you think? Okay, I think let's start with this. Do you think it was a good idea going over 2 nights?
They definitely had more big matches than they could fit into one night. So I kind of understand the logic of them doing 2 nights. And obviously, it was the weekend, so they had an opportunity to do that over 2 days. I don't think they should make a regular thing of it because it waters down a lot of their other shows where they run like three new beginnings with like six good matches across three shows, as opposed to like one show where it's all really good. And that has been a problem for New Japan in general over the past 3 years, I guess, where they've tried to get as much money as they can by expanding shows into multiple shows over a weekend, which is why Dominion was probably the best show of last year because that was a standalone and there wasn't anything near it. And the only thing near it really was the Best of Super Juniors leading into it. So, yeah, I think it's probably not a good idea going forward, but I think they just about got away with it this year.
Yeah, I think this year they, because you had the whole, is do they call it Double Gold Dash, whatever, the mini
Something like
tournament,
that, yeah.
because they had the mini tournament and because it's over a Saturday and Sunday, I think it worked. But even then, like, you had a lot of, like, the 8-man tags, just complete waste of time just trying to fill out the cards.
Yeah, there wasn't even any storyline attached to him. They're just here's an 8-man tag with guys who probably should be in better matches but aren't.
Yeah, I think this could be consolidated into one really, really great show. Because Wrestle Kingdom, normally we talk about it as a show of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not, neither of these shows for me even touching that.
Yeah.
But
Well,
I
I
think.
really like Night One. So Night One had the my two favorite matches were on Night One. I was going to go ahead and say that I thought Okada and Ibushi on Night One was the best match of the weekend, and is currently my match of the year.
Right, because I go with Okada Naito. I think I pre let we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Not
But I
even Dave
think,
went 5 stars on that, mate.
yeah.
Then you also had on night one the Osprey Hiromu match, which was very close to five for me as well. So you've got two like really outstanding matches, whereas night two leaned very heavily on the main event. Plus you had the losers match, which went on for like fucking half an hour or something that just didn't need to. And I watched a lot of Jay White over those 2 nights, and that was completely unnecessary. When you have that much talent in the company, to have one guy have two really boring long matches is just, ugh.
Yeah, I think we're already getting to that point, so let's just start digging into night one a bit more.
Okay.
I don't have the card in front of me, so you're gonna have to.
So do you want it from bottom to top or top to bottom?
Let's do bottom to top.
Okay, so if we skip the pre-show, although the pre-show did actually have an important match on it because it's Nakanishi's last Wrestle Kingdom match with him and Nagata against Tenkoji.
Yeah, which we didn't know at the time.
No, but he did do the bows to all sides. I mean, I just literally wrote in the review, it looks like he's going to retire, which is exactly what has happened. He's announced his retirement after that. But he
Yeah.
was definitely done. If you watch that match, like, he's really, really struggling.
Yeah, I think he used to be able to pull out like a surprisingly good promote, surprisingly good match like once or twice a year. There was a time where he was doing like cross bodies off the top rope and stuff. But I
Mastodon.
think, yeah, but I think it's clearly his time. I think we're going to see a lot more of that generation of guys starting to retire. Like Tenzan can't have much left.
I feel like Kojima's still really good. Like, you
Yeah,
saw
Kojima's still good. Nagata's still good. I could see them sticking around,
the thing with Nagata is
but
he wrestles a certain style that I feel like he can wrestle this way for a very long time. He can't doesn't have to change anything. He can just carry on doing what he's doing, and he can still wrestle for another like 20 years. But Nakanishi, it's like he just has no mobility anymore. So it's time for him to go.
yeah, I think Nagata has also helped by the fact that because he's a trainer, he's still getting a lot of practice and reps in to keep him fresh.
Kojima is just—he's still good. Like, I would be quite happy if he was in G1.
Yeah, Kojima, it's insane. I don't understand how.
Yeah, I guess he is slightly younger than the others. I'm actually not sure on his age. I'm just gonna.
That. He can't be that much younger, though.
Well, he's 49. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he's getting up there, but he's in really good shape. Nagata's 51,
Right.
so I can, like I said, I'm fine with Nagata. Tenzan's 48,
Yeah, Tenzan's just
but he
clearly been
looks
a bit
older.
unlucky.
Nakanishi, who is retiring, is 52, but he
So,
moves like he's significantly older.
yeah, I think we'll probably see Kojima stick around a bit longer than the rest, but those guys are probably on their way out because we've got, you're starting to get another generation of old guys starting to appear, so you need to get rid of this third generation.
This is the aging problem. I mean, Naito looked quite old by the end of night two.
Yes. I think after that was the Liger
Yeah,
old man tag.
the old man. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. I think so. I didn't really get into Japanese wrestling until what, 2012? So a lot of these guys, I don't have the same nostalgia for that like you might have.
Well, Noaki Sano was long, long past his prime in 2012, and he's out here doing toe paste to show a bit of respect for Liger on his way out. Like, I love that. And obviously,
It was,
Fujinami was a legend in the 90s. Sasuke as
yeah.
well had when at his in his prime, Sasuke was probably the best junior in the world. He probably had a shorter prime than Liger, who was over a much longer spell, but like when he was good, Sasuke was unreal.
Yeah, Sasuke is a guy who, like, I've seen some of his prime stuff, but again, having not lived through it, I don't think I fully appreciate how good he was.
Yeah, and he was sort of when Benoit was starting to get really good, Sasuke was one of his opponents in his really good Japanese matches. So like that's the era that he's from. For him to still be around is miraculous, but he obviously doesn't operate at that level anymore because he's quite beaten up. He does a lot of comedy stuff in his home promotion, and it kind of shows. He did take the Ohtani boot scrape spot, which
Which
I
was
really
great.
enjoyed that. Yeah.
It was really good. What did you think of Liger taking the pin in his one of his final matches?
I kind of hoped he'd win here. I know he wanted to lose on his way out, but like, I just you can pin Taguchi. Taguchi would quite happily take that job. I think any of them would have done, but that's not Liger. He just, I mean, even his retirement ceremony at New Year's Dash, that was supposed to be like the main event of that show, and he's like, I know I don't want to distract from the performers who are main eventing that show. Let's get it out of the way. Let's do it first. He's so selfless, and he always was. Like, all throughout his career, he constantly taking jobs where if you were the creative guy and the driving force behind a division, then you're not gonna come out and go, "Oh yeah, I'll lose. I'll lose this. I'll lose to that guy." And that's what he did. Whole career. That's why he's a legend.
Yeah, I think his entire sort of retirement run has been a bit of a disappointment. But now, looking at it all in hindsight and knowing how selfless he is, I think it's quite obvious he was the one sort of going, look, let's not put me in big matches, give me this one Suzuki thing, and then I'll just quietly go away. As opposed to, having a big junior title run. All of these things people thought or were hoping for. It's just not what Liger wants, and like, fair enough.
He's always been incredibly selfless. I mean, like, when people put him over, he's all like, "Oh, shucks, no, I was never that good." And all this business, but like, he really was. And for him to still be, I mean, he's still good now. Like, when he was wrestling in those matches, like, he doesn't show signs of aging, like we were talking about with Nakanishi, for example. It's just he was nowhere near that deteriorated going into his last match, and he's 55. So, like, to have wrestled the style that he's wrestled for as long as he has, I know he's toned it down and doesn't do so much aerial stuff, but for him to go out at that level was remarkable for
But
me.
even the toning down is less to do with age and more to do with the health issues he had. Like, what was it, a brain tumor, something like that?
Yeah, and he's had some other injuries as well.
Yeah, so it's less about I'm just old now and more just because he was doing that. He's toned down the high flying like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had a.
Extended his career, so
Yeah. He had a. His last singles match was against Taka Michinoku. It was a couple of days before the Dome. And, like, that's a legitimately great match. And, like, he can still go. I think it's just a case that he's a step or two behind your Will Ospreys and your Hiromus, which, fair enough. And he just doesn't want to be one of those guys that's hanging around. In the nicest way possible, he doesn't want to be a Tenzan or a Nakanishi, who you just go, oh, I hope this guy retires soon.
Yeah, I've been kind of hoping Nakanishi hangs him up for a couple of years. He this year he definitely needs to go. It was just like he was so slow and so
Yeah.
sluggish. But yeah, Liger still good. Last two matches, he still looked crisp and clean, and his movement around the ring was as good as it's been over the last 10 years or more. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, he felt like this was the right time to go, and as per usual, it was a selfless way to do it, lying down for Taguchi on one, and then Hiromu the night after. I mean, I can understand the Hiromu job. I kind of wish he'd beaten Taguchi.
I still don't understand why Taguchi was even in that match. Was it literally just so that he could pin Liger? Is there any kind of link? Do they have history or anything?
Well, yeah, but he has history with everyone, so it's kind of fun. There may be a reasoning behind it, but I'm not that into the backstage stuff and the training. I should probably ask Strigger, he'd probably know.
Right. I think after this, we had those multi-man tags.
Yeah, there was the one with the Sonata and Sabre. It was just here's Minoru Suzuki as an afterthought. Shingo doing nothing. And then after that, there was the one with the Bullet Club and the rugby guys. And yeah, that was pointless. We'll skip that.
Rugby
Then you had
guys.
the tag titles, Guerrillas of Destiny and Fin Juice.
I think people liked this match a lot more than I did. I thought it was a perfectly fine face in peril tag match. I like that Fin Juice won the titles because that division needs to move forward, and hopefully Finn Juice are the ones to at least freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of don't want the Gorillas of Destiny winning the belts again in a couple of weeks.
No. And Finley is a guy that's really good, but just unfortunately has never really been given opportunities.
Yeah, he has been out injured for, I can't remember how long he was out for. It was a
Most of
long
last
time.
year.
It
It
was
was most of last year, but even before that, when he was around, like the highlight of his career, I think, is he had a never six-man run
yeah,
with like Kojima and
everyone's had a
someone.
never six-man run. So yeah, he was out injured for like 8 months, and then he
Yeah.
came back just before the tag league. So he's not been back for very long.
Yeah, so I hope I get, but sorry, I hope they get a good run. What did you think of this match? Because I saw a lot of people going crazy for it, and I thought it was just a
I think it's because
well-worked
it was
southern
the
tag.
first match on the show that was really good. I mean, if you'd skip like the Liger retirement, you had the two matches that were just like ugh. And then it was that this felt like a step up again. So I think that's probably why it got a bit of a bump. I thought it was pretty good. I think it got a bit overblown because they did a lot of near fall stuff that felt a bit over the top. But yeah, I generally enjoyed it. It's interesting to note that there's no rating from Meltzer, so I don't really know what he went on it. But it felt like this was the last of the undercard matches, and then you had the four main events kicking in after that. But yeah, it was fine. I enjoyed it. I generally don't like Gorillas of Destiny, so it should have been. You could probably tag an extra quarter or half a star onto my rating based on how much I don't like them.
I don't mind Gorillas of Destiny, but I think we've just seen too much of them. Like, they're fine for what they are, but because they're basically always in the title picture, you get sick of them really, really quickly.
Well, that was their fifth title run, and they'd
Jesus.
held the belt for most of the year, which I hadn't even noticed. Which they have been
Madness.
champions since like New Beginning from 2019.
Yeah, but again, good little match. I hope Finn Juice get a good run.
Yeah, I like them. The division does need rebuilding, and I like the first challenge of Tanahashi and Ibushi. So I don't know who takes the pin in that match, but
See, I'm not going to get really excited because something like this happened a couple of years ago, where I think it was Okada and Goto went after the tag titles, and it was more of just a setup from two singles matches as opposed to them actually going for the tag titles. So this, I reckon, is more likely. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Ibushi is on the verge of a heel turn, so I reckon there'll be some kind of shenanigans
well, he
there.
has that whole fugue state thing, doesn't he? So, like, if they played into that, I think that could work.
Yeah, because I think the end goal of this is a Tanahashi Ibushi match, not a title run for them or a tag title run for them.
Yeah, I can see it ending with everyone having to restrain Ibushi as he's trying to beat up Tanahashi. That would be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that was the Texas Death Match for the US title, which is Archer and Mox. How did you feel about this? I felt like it kind of was good at times, but not consistently.
I liked it. I liked the structure of it. I liked the fact that early on you didn't get a lot of 10 count teasers, because I think with, because this was effectively a last man standing match.
Yeah, well,
And
Texas Death is basically last man standing. The reason why it's not called that anywhere is because WWE didn't want anything with like death in the title, so they came up with a last man standing as a
yeah.
alternative title to it. But yeah, it's always been a answer the 10 count match.
But there's normally a pin first, isn't there? Isn't
it
that
depends.
The way it goes?
It's the rules have changed over
yeah.
the years, so it depends what year you're in.
It's a weird match, but this one was effectively a last man standing match. And I think my issue with WWE last man standing matches, and actually I think a lot of promotions follow suit, is that you have a lot of these 10 count teasers early on off of like moves which in a normal match wouldn't do anything.
Mm.
Like you'll get a tease off of a hip toss and like, who? Why do I care? So I like the fact that they didn't do that. But towards the end, they started doing it. They started getting a bit cute with it, which I didn't love.
Was that the plastic bag?
Yeah, I hate the plastic bag spot so much. It's like, I think as someone that watches a fair amount of hardcore matches, it came across as really, really corny to me.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's really inauthentic. It's like, okay, what is something that seems really, really dangerous, but we can do? And it's like, oh, let's get a carrier bag.
He didn't even put it over his head. He just put it like over his face.
Yeah, it was awful. I hated that. And then
so that's what I mean about it coming, like, being good at times. That was one of the times where it wasn't.
Yeah.
And Mox did through these knees at one point that were just awful.
Yeah. Which I've seen some people, like the Voice of the Wrestling guys are like, yeah, we didn't notice that. And I don't see how you didn't notice it, because it was like a massive part of the match. And I immediately was like, oh crap, this is really bad.
Yeah.
I understand Mox is a WWE guy. He doesn't really historically know to lay it in and stuff, but still, you're like a mile away.
Yeah, it wasn't close, was it?
I think those two spots really, the carrier bag and the knees, really took me out of the match. It was almost something really, really good, but like you said, it wasn't quite there.
Yeah, Lance Archer's a tough guy to book because like he's so dominant, like as a performer. Like you, when he walks into the ring, it's like, wow, you know, this
yeah.
guy's got it. And then it's really hard to book around that. So they ended up like, you know, dumping him through a table and him getting accidentally busted open. So it's they found their way to a finish, but a lot of the stuff before that didn't really work.
No. Bit of a disappointment because Archer's had a really good year. And Mox, I don't love Mox singles matches as much as a lot of people, but he still had quite a good year. So I was hoping for something quite good out of this. And it was a fine match that we'll probably forget about it in 6 months. But it was good at the moment.
Yeah, I think that was probably the absolute last match before like your big matches. So
yeah.
I know I said that about the tag titles as well, but this was like a little bit of a step up from that, but not as high as the top three. So the top three is where people were really expecting some quality. And the first match of the top three was Hiromu and Ospreay.
And, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, that kind of delivered, didn't it? To start with, for the first like 10 minutes of the match, I thought Ospreay was working a little bit soft. I thought he was concerned about Hiromu's neck, didn't want to re-injure him, didn't want to be the guy that injured Hiromu in his second match back. And then he gave him that hidden blade. It was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
That hidden blade was the most disgusting. That sound is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. It was disgusting. I think that was the moment, you're right, that was the moment where the match really started going. I think early on, it felt almost like they were trying to work a heavyweight main event style. It was a lot of grappling. It was a lot more. It's not the sort of match you expect from Will Ospreay and Hiromu. And that hidden blade happened, and then they just went balls to the wall. There was that crazy Sasuke special thing Will Ospreay did, where he missed the dive.
Yeah, that was earlier on, but that whole sequence was just like a poof.
one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Yeah, just an absolutely phenomenal match. I reckon this will end up quite high on my match of the year list. Just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the, because we watched it all live, so in our little group chat thing, there was a few fives being thrown around, and I was like, I don't think it's quite that good.
I went five at first, but I was a bit shaky on it. My general rule is, if I'm shaky on it, it's not a five.
Mm.
But I felt like I needed to rewatch it anyway. And like, I agree with you, it wasn't quite there. There was like a weird drop kick where Ospreay missed.
Oh yeah,
which,
the missile drop kick where he just kind of
yeah.
barely winged him. That's what I'm talking about with the where he was being overprotective, and I can completely understand that. Like, I wouldn't want to lay it in on Hiromu, because you know he's been out for so long with this neck, so you don't want to be the guy that fucks his neck up again, because that will really haunt you. Because you know he's a good kid, he's been through hell with this neck injury, and you don't want to be the guy that knocks him out again.
They're also probably friends, so there's probably a bit of that going on as well,
yeah.
where I don't want to be the one to hurt my friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this delivered in spades.
Yeah, yeah. But as I was saying, it was a little bit below what it could possibly have been, just because Ospreay was being protective, but I don't blame him for that.
But I think we're really splitting hairs there. It's like, we're talking about a 4 3/4
yeah,
star
yeah.
match instead of a 5-star match.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why it is. That's my point, is that's why it is.
And yeah.
I wouldn't want it to be a 5-star match if he got hurt having a 5-star match. It's the Shibata complex where, like, I would love to see the 5-star match, but if that means one guy getting injured, I don't want to see the 5-star match.
Fair. That's fair.
Then we've got Jay White and Naito. And I hated this match so much.
I liked it. I enjoyed the match. I thought there were real, real issues with the match. I think Naito's selling was completely off. Jay White went after the knees for a while, and then, like, that portion was really, really good, and Naito sold the knee really, really well there. And then I understand why in kayfabe Jay White stopped, because clearly he was going after the knee, it wasn't really working, so he gave that up and tried something else. Like, that makes sense to me in kayfabe. What I disliked was the fact that Naito was selling the knee really, really hard, and then once Jay White stops going after the knee, he's acting like nothing ever happened. And, like, I don't want him limping around or whatever, but, like, shake it off once or twice. Do something to remind us that, hey, my knee is hurt, at least on some level.
I mean, he came out after the main event and he was selling it. It's like, what?
Yeah, and the main event on night two was built around the fact that Naito had a bum leg. So I think there's a real disconnect there where I can understand if you want to go, look, adrenaline, all of this stuff, so it doesn't hurt as much as it ends up hurting. But he wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is something that happens a lot. And one of my New Year's resolutions was to be less kind to people who did a limb match and then stopped doing the limb part of it. It's like, if you're going to do that and it's just killing time, then just don't do it. Just have a shorter match.
I think it depends on the context. I think, again, if when Jay White was doing all of that knee work, Naito wasn't really selling it, it didn't seem like much was working, then I can go, fair enough. There was no real damage done to the knee, so he's not
huge.
Selling it.
He was doing, like,
yeah.
You know, collapsing on Irish whips and stuff. And I was thinking, this is good, but in the back of my head, I'm like, if they just give up on this in a minute, then I'm going to hate it. And they just stopped doing it.
I'm not the kind of person that really gets upset when people don't sell limbs properly. I'm willing to, like, as you're seeing now, I'm willing to make a jump to explain why it's happening. But I think there's times where it's really, really egregious. That's easy for me to say. And this was really, really egregious. And it just really hurt what was a pretty good match.
I had other issues with it. So the basic structure of the match was like a slow build, but they didn't actually build to anything. So like with well, I'll talk about it in the main event as well with Okada and Ibushi. They did stuff that logically built to other stuff later in the match. So that was a good New Japan main event style match. This was like everything that everyone hates about New Japan main events. They did stuff for no reason. They didn't go anywhere. And it just killed time until they did the finishing sequence, which was really fun. And I was like, well, why didn't you wrestle like this the whole match? And then there was all the Gedo stuff. There was the ref bump. It's just a bad match. I really, really hated it. This is like my least favorite match over both of the shows.
I think we talked about Jay White a little bit last time. I like him, but I think this is another example of him. And I don't even think most of this is his fault.
No, it's the booking.
Yeah, but I still think he's a
And
guy
also,
that works.
I think Naito dogged this match.
Yeah, Naito is a guy that is a bit broken down now,
Oh, yeah.
and he clearly realized night two is where I really have to shine, so
Which
he took.
is fine. I have absolutely no problem with that. They don't need 34 minutes to tell me this story. They can get that done in half that time, and
Easy.
it should have been done in half that time, just to make sure that Naito got out of that match in one piece. Plus, then you have the story that they can work the knee in that match, that'd be fine. Then you've got the story for night two, but you've also got the story that Naito is significantly fresher, and that's why he beat Okada, because like he had a much shorter match. That would
Yeah.
all make perfect sense. Instead, they had him go almost as long as Okada. In this nonsensical, shitty match, and I'm stunned at the amount of people that enjoyed this and just thought it was good. And I'm like, what match are you watching?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who I think what happened actually is that there was a lot of backlash to it at first, and so people that came to it later were less against it than we probably were in the moment. Where we thought this is an awful, awful match, people that come to it later probably thought, okay, there's some issues, but there's a good match in there, and it's not as bad as, say, something on the undercard.
Yeah,
I don't
I did
agree
not
with
watch
that, but
it.
I think that's the logic.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I just don't agree with it. There were a lot of like Alan Sheepshot, Alan 4L, I can't remember who else was coming out in support of it, but they were saying that it was a really good match, and I'm just looking at the tweets and thinking like, what match were you watching? I can't put the two together. The match that I saw is the same match that they saw. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's I just don't know. These are people that I think Jamesy liked it as well. These are
Yeah,
people whose
James,
opinions
you
are
liked it.
gen.
These are all people who know wrestling, and I don't understand what match they saw. It was just terrible.
I can't. It's I started this saying, I kind of liked the match, but I think talking it through now, no, it was a bad match. It was a bad match.
Yeah, so Meltzer went 4.5 on that one,
Which is
which I
nonsense.
don't know where he's getting that from. A more realistic perspective is Larry Zonka. I think he went 3.5, which that is probably a rational rating of the match. Not my star and a half is probably a little low, but I felt that I needed to give it a really low rating to reflect how much I disliked it. For the spot
Yeah.
it was in, it needed to be a better match, and it wasn't well structured, and I don't think either man was particularly good in the match. Jay White, I think, is far better as a babyface. I keep saying this. I think he's been forced into this spot where he has to rely on Gedo, and the match is the same every time. It doesn't matter who he's wrestling, it's just the same match. And I just don't like him.
No, I think in smaller matches he really shows out, but he just isn't a big match performer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, give it time. I think he will be eventually, but he won't be as this heel character. Like he'll be a good main eventer if he's a babyface up against a tougher opponent. That's when he'll shine.
I like the gimmick.
Oh, I like the gimmick, yeah. It just
I think
it's.
it's just it's the booking around it that's the problem, and the match structure that he's. I don't know if he's forced to do it or if this is
Yeah,
just what
it
he
feels
thinks
like
works.
it feels like he has been forced into it. But the trouble with criticizing one aspect of New Japan booking is the company as a whole is genuinely quite well booked, but occasionally it isn't, and it's usually the tag division that you can stick the boots into New Japan or like Goto or something. But the Jay White has not been well booked. He's been
No.
forced into a role that they needed someone to do, and he wasn't the guy to do it. The thing is, like, I feel like he looks weak all the time because he needs Gedo to win matches.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I like the sort of cowardly heel just because that's something you don't really see in New Japan. It's something different and fresh. I think the problem is the matches aren't delivering, and New Japan is a company where you need to deliver in the ring more than
I'll
anything.
tell you who you could have put in that spot, and it would have worked. Chase Owens. I know Chase is small, but Jay White's quite small as well, and he would need that outside help to get the job done. And for me, that would be a better fit for that spot because they needed a wrestler to fit into he's trying to put a jigsaw together, and he's got a piece missing, so he's had to like. Cut a bits off a piece to make it fit, which is Jay White, and he needed somebody that was more like Chase Owens to fit into that role. So I don't know why they just didn't use Chase Owens, but then he's been this undercard heel junior for so long with no beginnings of a push, even that they probably couldn't have done that. And
And
it's all
also,
Kenny Omega's fault.
even before Kenny left, Jay White was someone that was getting a bit of a push.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to put him into that role as
But
opposed to
they've very much
someone.
shoehorned him into the role as opposed to putting him where he naturally belongs. And it's the trouble with booking so far in advance and doing like long storylines is that if something goes wrong, you have to then find something to kind of slot in there. And it was not easy for them, and they've suffered because of it.
Very much so.
All right, main event. So Okada and Ibushi was
Look,
so good.
look, look, look. I didn't like it as much as a lot of people. I went like 4.5 stars, so I thought it was a really, really great match, but I saw a lot of fives being thrown out for this. I think my issue with this match is my issue with most New Japan main events. In that those first 15 minutes, I know your argument is that some of this stuff paid off, but I
Yeah.
don't think enough of it paid off
That's a
to
fair
justify those
argument,
15
but
minutes.
I feel like a lot of it did. And they started into the great thing about Okada and like his match structuring is he'll throw in little high spots like that rail dive. I'm trying to think what else he did that was early on, but like oh there's like a neck breaker off the apron and stuff like that. And it's basically you put in these big spots and you kind of intersperse them just to keep things ticking along. The trouble is, like, he does this match, this style of match against everyone. And this is a complaint about quite a lot of wrestlers that they have a match that they're really good at, so they do it against everyone. Okada shouldn't be having this match against, like, Sanada because Sanada's not at the same level.
No.
But he does have that match against, like, Sanada or Evil, whoever he's wrestling, Goto. from the undercard guys who are supposed to be elevated by having this match with Okada, where Okada should be having a shorter version of this match that's like 20 minutes, where the guy he's wrestling isn't good enough to get to the however many minutes this was, like 40 minutes. So he beats him in half the time. And the idea should be that the closer you get to like the 40-minute mark is the closer you are to actually beating him. So like Ibushi going, what was it? I think it's 39 minutes this match. 39, 16 was the match time. The idea should be that if you are on his level or even above it, then you can get closer to a longer match. So you get more of Okada's false finishes. You get more of the excitement down the stretch towards the end of the match. He does that too often. He does that with everyone. If he didn't do it with everyone, people wouldn't get sick of the match, is my opinion.
I think that's completely fair. I think the issue is, you're right, every big time Okada match generally feels very, very similar. Like the Sonata matches feel quite similar, the Omega matches feel quite similar. Every now and then you'll get something like the Shibata match where it's completely different.
Oh, this
And
Suzuki one in London, I thought was different as well.
yeah. Where it's less of an Okada match and more of his opponent's type of match. But again, I thought this was really, really great. All of that aside, when Ibushi went into that sort of angry fugue state where he was basically shooting
Went
at
into the
Okada,
zone.
yeah, it was amazing. I really liked, I don't know if this was intentional or if this was me sort of reading too much into it, but you know, during that moment, he was sort of kicking Okada in the corner and stuff. When you had Okada Tiger Mask W a couple years ago, they did that exact same spot but in reverse, with Okada sort of disrespecting Tiger Mask and you know, kicking him in the corner and whatever. So I wouldn't be sh Again, this might be me reading too much into it, but that felt like a bit of a callback to me.
Oh, okay. Because I don't really remember that match. It was just, it was one of
Yeah,
those matches. It was very good.
that was in that period where Okada was having like great title matches every month. So it might have blended a bit together, but it was a match I really, really loved. And I appreciate the callback if it was a callback. But yeah, the last, I guess what, 15, 20 minutes of this match, just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I felt the there's a huge difference here in the selling as well, because so the I'm going to call it back to the Naito Jay White match, where the selling was all over the place. You had some really good selling and then no selling and then some okay selling towards the end, but it was all over the place. In this match, they didn't do any specific limb selling or anything like that, but it was all fatigue selling, so that and that worked. So you could see how the fatigue built up over the course of the match, and both guys looked more looked progressively more tired as it went on, and it worked. Like the selling in this match, I thought was glorious.
Yeah, I think in general, fatigue selling works a lot better than specific limb selling just
Yeah, it
because
can get
people aren't
overused
very good at the
if you
limb.
start into it too soon, then it's ridiculous. But yeah, it
There's
worked
an
because it's a
art to
long
it.
match. Yeah,
There's an art to it.
I was not all of it.
But no, this was a great, great. I feel bad for coming in being like, you know, this wasn't as great as people say, but this was like a really, really great match. It's just I have these problems with New Japan main events, which is why I don't watch a lot of New Japan regularly anymore. Just the house style has very major limitations for me.
I feel like this is a very good example of the style.
Yeah.
I would completely understand if somebody didn't like it based on them generally disliking New Japan main events, but I don't know, it did everything for me. It was I went five and I didn't even think about it. It was just like this is an easy five.
Fair. That's fair enough. Is it worth, now I'm going to call an audible here. Why don't we talk about the two main events of night two,
yeah,
while we're just in this in that period,
in that main event zone,
in that main event zone. And then if there's anything worth talking about in the end, in fact, there is stuff worth talking about outside of those main events, but I think this all will all tie together quite well.
Yeah, that's fine. So do you want to go straight to the Okada Naito match? Cause that's.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
I think this was the perfect example of a Okada main event style match. You didn't have that early portion of nothingness. It was right into the action. All of the emotion was there. This isn't even the kind of match where I want to critique individual moments or things, just because this was the perfect way to end like a 2-3 year story, maybe even longer if you want to count Naito losing the Tokyo Dome main event all those years ago.
That was 2015?
Maybe.
Somewhere around then.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the culmination of a long-term story. I absolutely loved Naito again going for the Stardust Press, this time actually hitting it, but that not actually mattering.
Yeah.
So for all these
years...
If you hadn't
followed New Japan for a long time, that would probably be lost on you. It was just like, oh, he tried to step it up a level or something. But yeah, that made a lot of sense. I think they do reward people for watching over a long period of time, because they do callbacks and they do them very well.
Yes. So Naito goes for the Stardust Press like he did 2 years ago. This time actually hits it, but it didn't matter in the end, because that's not what got the pin. And that was amazing, because for all these years we thought, you know, if he hits that Stardust Press, that's what makes it. He needs to reconcile with his old self for all of this. Which, no, that's not what matters. Just so, so good. And the intensity Okada brought at the end, those, like, he hit like 5 Rainmakers in a row or something, just pissed off that Naito's about to take his title. Just so good. So, so good. Easy 5 stars. My match of the year, and it's going to be really hard to beat.
It was 2014. I just looked it up.
Okay.
So I didn't go 5 on this. And I think a lot of it has to do with the disconnect that I have with Naito's character.
Right.
So I wasn't feeling the same emotional connection to everything. And because I was like a big fan of the whole Okada Tanahashi series of matches, because I was so into both wrestlers. It was this generation's like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. It was two guys who were both excellent at the top, but they told this great arcing storyline of Okada being unable to get the job done and coming up short year after year after year, and then eventually doing it. That to me, I was the year before he won, and Okada went out crying. I was in bits, because I was just like, I can't believe he still hasn't won. And then to have him come back and win like the year after, to build that another year, so he had to wait a year to come back and win at the Dome. I thought that was just majestic stuff. Whereas like with Naito, I don't feel the same emotional attachment, because I've never been that into it.
Sure. I think for me, I wouldn't consider myself a huge Naito fan, but when he started this whole Ingobernable angle was around the time where I really started watching New Japan regularly. Like, I remember the G1 where he debuted I'd been watching New Japan before that, but it wasn't, because it was the Ustream era and it was a bit more difficult to get a hold of stuff. I was basically only watching the big matches. That G1 was when I finally was just like, look, there's a lot of people talking about this. This is really, really cool. So I'm going to start following it a bit more regularly. And so I think there's a bit of that for me, where it's finally seeing this guy who is quite integral to my early days of watching this promotion reach that mountaintop.
I feel like they I had think... to do it at this point as well, because his neck is in such bad shape that if they'd waited any longer, they wouldn't have been able to do it at all.
They've already waited too long. He should have won it earlier. I don't know, last year. But I'm happy they've finally done it.
Yeah.
And what did you think of? Because I don't want to break this match down move by move or anything. Because I think it's the kind of match where the emotion hits you or it doesn't. That's what this entire thing is built around.
Yeah,
more than the actual work.
I felt that the work was very solid, which is why I rated it so highly, because I thought the work was very good. It did feel like a big match. Like I said, I just don't have that investment in Naito that I do in Okada or Ibushi or Tanahashi or any of the guys that they've kind of run with in the bigger main event slots. Ishii's my guy. I want Ishii to win the title.
It's never going to happen.
When's Ishii's time?
It's a shame, because I'd love it too, but I've accepted it's never going to happen. At best, we're going to get an Ishii IC title run.
Yeah, he deserves the big spot. And I'm not saying that Naito doesn't. It's just that's my wrestling, and this isn't. So, yeah, it was, like I said, excellent match, but for me, the Ibushi match was just better.
And then we had the Kenta run-in afterwards, which I think a lot of people got pissed off at. I think it really worked. I would have liked to have seen Naito get a moment, but I think this got a very strong reaction from the crowd. And I think also, Naito's character isn't really one that gets the big moment, you know?
Mm.
He's the guy that reaches the mountaintop and then immediately gets thrown back off.
I mean, he's clearly not going to lose the title to Kenta. That would be madness. But it's interesting that the Western fans that were watching were mad at the booking. They were annoyed that Gedo just couldn't let Naito have his moment, and it's like, how can you do this to our favorite, you swine? While the Japanese fans were mad at Kenta.
So he's getting that heel heat. It's a really interesting cultural difference there. I noticed that as well. I think we're lucky that Kenta's getting a lot of heat. So in that case, I think the angle was worth it. If the Japanese fans were more like Western fans, where they were pissed off at the promotion, then I would call this a massive, massive mistake.
It's worked from the point of view of the people that are going to be watching it live.
Yeah.
So the crowd response will be correct. So vein of thinking, then yes, that was the right thing to do. I personally probably wouldn't have done it. It's a very ballsy decision.
That was my first reaction. I saw it and thought, this is very, very ballsy. And I respect it. I respect that they've decided to do an angle to end Wrestle Kingdom. It remains to be seen how well the match draws. If Kenta ends up becoming, I don't think he's going to become like a top tier main event guy, because he just doesn't have that in him anymore.
Well, they have enough broken down guys on the top end of the card with Tanahashi and Naito, so.
Exactly. But I think if you can get a good number on that title match, and maybe a couple other big matches out of Kenta from this, then I think it was a success.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much all the takes I have for that main event.
Yeah. Do you want to start from the beginning or talk about Jay White Ibushi?
Well, there's also Jericho and Tanahashi, which kind of slotted in between the two.
Ah, let's do that one first
Yeah.
because I watched that one last night. That was the last match
Oh,
I'd
okay.
seen. I didn't like it. I don't
Oh, didn't you?
like 20. I don't like Modern Jericho. I think he doesn't realize what's good about his character. What Jericho should be is more of the sort of drunken brawler, washed up rock star type. I get the impression he thinks he can still sort of hang with these younger guys, and I feel
I
like
think
he
younger
thinks
guys is
he's
a
cool.
stretch with Tanahashi, but yeah,
You know what
I
I
get what
mean,
you
though.
mean because I saw his match with Kenny Omega in AEW, and it was just quite bad because he was trying to keep up and he clearly couldn't.
Yeah. Younger's not right, but fresher guys, I guess. Although even Tanahashi's not fresher, not that much fresher.
I get what you're
But
saying,
anyway,
but like you.
yeah. I think I get the feeling he thinks he's the coolest guy in the room, when that's not what the character is. The character is that he thinks he's the coolest guy in the room, but he's not. But I think I might be getting worked here, but I really
It
get the
sounds like you
impression
are.
that I really get the impression that Chris Irvine thinks he's really, really cool. And it just there's a real disconnect for me with modern Chris Jericho. And he just feels really, really inauthentic. And everything he does feels like he's working. And not in the sort of, oh, am I getting worked? Am I not? But in the, I can really tell you're trying to play a character here, and I don't like it. You can see the seams in a Chris Jericho match, I think.
I feel
That's the
like
problem I
he's
have.
just like a very deluded old man, and that's how he wrestles. So there isn't, I don't think there's a lot of gap between the character and the man behind the character. If you look at his Twitter, like I don't know how much of it is him being quote in character and how much of it is him just being Chris Jericho. So yeah, I like this match. And I generally haven't liked his in-ring work over the past couple of years. It's just every now and again he has a match that I think is really good. Like I thought the Naito match is probably the best one he's had.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was perfectly good, I thought. And I loved that when he got him in the Boston Crab, which is like your young boy finisher, it didn't work, but then he switched to the Lion Tamer. The actual Lion Tamer that he used in
Yeah.
WCW, like the more high angle version, that's when Tanahashi had to tap out. Like Tanahashi is feeling the pain, but he's not going to tap out to the young boy finish.
But the more advanced version he does.
Yeah.
I like that too. I think my only slight issue with it was that visually it doesn't look that much different. And that might just be Tanahashi's back isn't great, so he can't contort himself that much. But I felt it worked for me, but I felt like if it weren't for commentary making a point of, look, this is the Lion Tamer now as opposed to the normal Boston Crab, it wouldn't have hit me on the same level.
Yeah, I didn't even notice commentary mention it. It's just I just saw it and was like, oh, I like that.
Fair, fair. Again, it might be that Jericho is just a guy that for whatever reason, like I went like 4 stars on this match. I thought it was pretty good. Almost great, I guess.
I could think
But
four is pretty much is great. I think
yeah,
that's where great
I
starts for me.
maybe it was 3 3/4. I can't remember. I've been awake an hour. Let me have this. But I think Joker might just be a guy that there's a disconnect for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch a Jericho match. If I heard he'd had a good match somewhere, I'd be like, eh. But the fact that he was on this card was why I had to sit through it, and I didn't have a bad time. It was fine for me. It was two old guys having one of them old guy matches. There's considering, like, I grew up watching a lot of guys in wrestling who hung around way past their prime, in particular in WCW, where you had your Hogan, Savage, and all those guys who wrestled like Roddy Piper, and they were wrestling. And that the thing is, they were the kind of ages that Jericho is now, but they were terrible. They were having like 1-star, half-star, dud matches every time out. So the difference between then and now is that the older guys are in better shape and that they're going out there and trying harder just to make sure that they don't stink the joint out. And I appreciate the effort, and that's what we got from this match. So we got a lot of effort from two guys who really didn't need to do that. Like
For
Tanahashi
sure.
did not need to do a high fly flow to the floor in this match.
There.
They could have
Although
coasted by on character.
he could have, and I agree with you. I respect that neither of them did. I just think this had a ceiling for me, and like they hit the ceiling, I
Yeah,
guess,
that's the same with me.
but
I was thinking the best I can expect out of this is something around 4, and they hit that for me, so I have no complaints.
yeah.
I wasn't expecting them to do any better. I was probably expecting them to do a bit worse. So like I'm quite happy with how it turned out. This is fine. Like I don't expect Chris Jericho to come and do anything more than this. This is perfect.
Fair. Do you think so? A big part of this match, or a part of this match that was added quite late, was the idea of the AEW Tanahashi getting AEW title shot. Now, I think it's come out that that was more them just working on the fly. Do you think New Japan and AEW should partner together? Do you think that's something that needs to happen? I think that's a
I don't think it needs to happen, but it would be helpful for both of them if it did. Obviously, New Japan want to plow their own furrow in the States. They feel like they can draw without anyone else's help, which is pretty much true. And in fact, I think Ring of Honor's association with them is actually holding New Japan back. They're probably a little bit reluctant to partner up with anyone based off the experience that they had with Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor sucks. So I don't know. I think time will tell on it. If they think they can draw by themselves, then they'll just draw by themselves.
I think for the size of buildings they're running, they'll probably end up drawing. I'm of the opinion that AEW needs New Japan a hell of a
Oh
lot more than New Japan needs AEW.
definitely. They could really benefit from the boost of having guys of this stature on their shows, your Okadas, your Ibushis,
Or
that could do wonders for them as a promotion.
being able to send guys like Private Party over there to, get some seasoning. Whereas New Japan, yeah, they might be able to draw better in the US. But not, I don't think substantially better. And
I don't know if the whole Omega departure thing, well, and the Bucks and Cody, I don't know if that is still leaving a sour taste in the mouth of the officials in New Japan.
well, it seems like there's bitterness on both sides. From all of the interviews and things I've read, it seems like the Bucks and Omega felt like AJ and Nakamura left before them, and they weren't really treated as persona non grata. They got big going away things, whereas they Bucks and Omega didn't. Obviously, I think it's a completely different situation going to start your own company than going
Well,
to.
you wouldn't turn around to Cody and say, "How dare you leave?" Because he's literally started a wrestling promotion. So it's like, well, good luck.
I think it's a complicated situation, but I think I don't want to see a partnership between the two companies because I don't think New Japan will get anything really out of it.
No, I think ideally you want to keep them apart for a while, and then if you want to do like a crossover show at some point, then it would probably draw a lot better than if they were constantly interacting. So if you wanted to do a big show in the States and you made it a versus show, then you have a chance of drawing better money by having them compete against each other on a one-off occasion and then just keeping them apart. But I don't think that's even going to happen for quite some time. I think the idea is that if New Japan is successful on its own two feet, it will continue to do that. And AEW's not off to a disastrous start. They've done well to start with. I'd probably give them like a B plus for their first half a year. So yeah, we'll see where it goes in the future.
Yeah. One of the okay, go through the show now. I can't remember the rest of the show. So
Are we going like backwards through it, or do you want to go back to the start, or?
it's up to you. It's up
Well, we'll
to
just go
you.
backwards because the match before is like Jay White and Kota Ibushi, so we might as well talk about
Which was really, really bad.
that.
I can't even defend this. This was just a very, very boring Jay White performance.
Yeah. See, I
He
felt this
just
way about the Naito match as well. If anything, this was slightly better because at least Ibushi was trying.
Yeah, but I think I think it's I'm invested in the Naito story, so I was interested in it. Whereas there's nothing to play for here, so Ibushi just landing on his neck for no reason doesn't really hit me at all.
Yeah, this is just bad.
Yeah, just complete
Bad match.
everything we said about Jay White Naito, I think can be applied to this.
Yeah.
Just a waste of time.
It was at least shorter, but also there was absolutely no point in it being as long as it was. So it went
No.
25 minutes and it's like, well, why?
It's ridiculous.
What's the
It's a
point in
complete
that?
waste of time.
And
Complete waste of time.
to give you an idea of how bad this match was, Meltzer went 3 stars on it.
Yeah, I think I went like two. It was just a
I was
match.
just under two. So
Yeah.
yeah, it was bad. Okay, move on. before that was Kenta and Hirooki Goto, which ended up being quite an important match. Although I don't know how you felt about this, but I felt like Goto, this is another one of those matches where like he's supposed to be coming out here and getting revenge and there's no fire. Again.
I see. I think there was fire at the start, and I liked the fact that we didn't start with like lockups or anything. You had Goto just coming out there trying to go after Kenta. I think it started to slow down, but that felt like more Kenta than it did Goto. It felt more like Kenta couldn't, he was gassed or something.
Yeah, well, it didn't go that long. It went 16 minutes.
Yeah, but like this was the first Kenta singles match I've seen in maybe years at this point. So I was a bit surprised at how quickly he was, going for holds and
Yeah, he has been
chin
wrestling
locks
that
and
way. But
stuff.
to be honest, it wasn't a bad Kenta performance, but it's just the It got so Kenta dominated like 75% of the match, which it's the Sting Hulk Hogan Starrcade 97 setup to a match where the one guy's out for revenge and then he gets beaten down repeatedly. at least this didn't finish with a bad finish or anything, but the there's a spot where Kenta slaps Goto. And all of a sudden, the match is suddenly really good because Goto wakes up.
Yeah, but that was in like the last couple of minutes.
Yeah,
That was like the finishing
I know.
sequence.
But if Goto had been more awake during the entire match, I just think this could have been like a really, really good match. Because he just, for me, if you're a babyface and you're coming into a match where this guy's been pissing you off for months, because this is going back to G1, so it's. We're talking 4 months. So 4 months, this guy's been pissing you off, and the best you can do is be completely dominated by him for like three quarters of the match. It's just not, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Like, sure, like you're gonna have to establish Kenta as the stronger of the two, otherwise the win doesn't mean anything. But at the same time, you don't need that much establishment because it makes Goto look like a chump. I mean, he is a chump, but you don't need to make him look like one. The whole point of Goto winning here is that he's getting that revenge in because like Kenta like turned on Shibata It's that's Goto's best mate. Like, where's his fire? Like, if someone beat up my injured best mate, I would be fucking livid. I'd be coming out there swinging and like aiming for the fences. I'd probably get myself disqualified from a storyline perspective because I'd be that mad. And this Goto is just like, where's the fire? Where's the passion?
I think part of the problem with this match was because Kento was going on to face Naito, he couldn't just become. He had to take most of the match because you had to make it clear this is a guy that can logically go up against Naito and maybe win. So I think the issue is more of a booking one than it is
Yes, that
than it
is true.
is
But
on Goto.
also, it happens to Goto all the time, so I'm also blaming him.
But normally on these dome shows, he really pulls it out and
Yeah.
has a great match. I think Goto is a complete chump as well, but I think this is less on him and more on the booking. Because, like I said, the match starts with him going running straight at Kenta and just completely going after him, and it ends with him real pissed off, hitting the GTW and then the GTR. Just with a lot of aggression. I think there's that middle portion where there's the issue, and that I'm willing to go, it's more of the issue of the booking.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I didn't particularly like the match, although it was fine.
I didn't either. I thought, again, that middle portion was just very boring. It was a lot of Kenta rest holds.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Mox and Juice. And I honestly, I don't have a lot to say about this because it just wasn't much of a match. I guess we'd talk more about Moxley's post-match challenger, which was Minoru Suzuki. And
I'm very excited for
there
that.
was a lot of rumors flying around that Suzuki not booked in a match on either of the shows. He was in a one of those multi-man tags as a secondary figure behind Zack Sabre, that maybe he was on his way out. And I'm still told by people who kind of know that he won't be here in New Japan by next year's Dome show. Like, he's probably going to be gone. So it's a
Yeah,
surprise for
so
me for him to turn up and challenge.
I think because I've heard similar sort of DM rumors that Suzuki's not going to be there for the whole year. I think this is just a case of giving him one last big angle or one last big match. I'm really excited by the idea. I think these. They will work together really, really well. And Mox needs a big time challenger. And unfortunately, there's not really that many around right now.
Well, there's plenty of guys knocking around, like your Kojimas of the world, but it's a case of like, who do you want to sacrifice? And it's pretty clear that that is Minoru Suzuki. So what really interests me is that Suzuki could turn up potentially anywhere, which that's very exciting.
That is re See that I'm really hoping he doesn't stick around New Japan that much longer, just because
Yeah,
I want to see what he does.
I feel like he is a little bit played out, and the fact that they didn't want to put him in G1 speaks volumes. And I think he's probably just kind of had enough.
He's been there a while, to be
Yeah.
fair.
I mean, he's a very interesting wrestler, and I feel like New Japan have not used him well over the last couple of years when his potential upside is very high. His best work has come in England, where he's gone and wrestled these great matches for Rev Pro because the crowd respond to everything, and like, he's just super into the experience. So yeah, hopefully it's a chance for him to wrestle in more wacky different places and just, start turning up in odd promotions.
I wonder if once he leaves New Japan, if Rev Pro will be able to use him, because he's like a god in this country.
Yeah,
So
I can
losing
see
him would
that.
be an issue.
I can see that as a possibility that they could still use him because they just have to book him direct, and I don't think he's leaving New Japan on bad terms.
Fair.
it's a case of they feel like he's been around for a while, so they can afford to lose him. I don't think they're particularly worried that he's leaving. So yeah, it should be fine, which is pretty good for Andy Keel, I guess, because he gets to continue using a draw that you're not going to see in a lot of other places.
Or you might end up seeing more, depending on where he ends up going.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's at this point, it's who knows.
Right. Okay. What was the next match? Because I think we've run out of stuff to say here.
Yeah, Sabre and Sonata.
This was fine. I
Yeah.
don't.
To be honest, I
Sonata,
kind
I
of
don't
like
love.
this because I don't particularly like Sonata, and he spent this entire match being walked through it by Sabre.
Yeah, there's a thing they do with Sonata which I don't like, where he seems to be the only guy that can
Yeah.
get the upper hand
Yeah.
of Suzuki of Zack
Yeah,
on the
I put
mat.
that in my review. It's like it doesn't make any sense, but they constantly do it.
It's so weird because he's clearly a guy they really, really like, and the native crowd seem to enjoy him, but I just don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't
I have
see.
very little connection to Sonata. Like he's technically quite smooth. He does some fun stuff, but he can't seem to put together a match. So like the only time he has a good match is when somebody else puts the match together and he just does his smooth stuff in it. And that's basically what this match was. But they kept it kind of short as well, so that worked for me.
Yeah, I think it was a good little match. I'm more excited by what Zach is doing beyond this with the Osprey match. But I don't have much else to say. This was just a match.
Yeah. To be
A
honest,
good match, but a match.
there's not a lot else to say about these shows. I think we've pretty much covered everything at this point.
So I've only seen two Dash
Was
matches.
it the opener and the match with like Ishii and Shingo?
Yes,
Yes.
it
Yeah,
was.
those the same two matches that I watched.
Yes. That opener, my God, was amazing.
It was really good. Like really, really good.
I those LA Dojo guys are just phenomenal.
Carl Fredericks, mate, has money just written all over him.
Carl Fredericks is the obvious, like, this guy's obviously going to be a star. But I really enjoyed
Coughlin.
Alex Coughlin, Coughlin. I
Yeah, he's really
really
good.
enjoyed him in the match. He was just a short, pissed off motherfucker. I just love it. He's just so angry.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy you would see in the back of a pub having a fight with just anyone on a Friday night. He was
Yeah.
great. I love him so much.
Yeah, I'm into all those guys. They've got like a real good group of wrestlers there, and it's basically because Shibata's standards are so high that if you don't meet them, you're not going to be on these shows. And I think Coughlin was one of the ones that got left off some of those shows, so I think that's kind of given him a bit of motivation to do better, and he obviously has because now he's on them.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of US indie guys that didn't make it through the
Yeah.
LA Dojo. Kurt Stallion is one who was there, but clearly didn't meet Shibata's expectations.
Yeah.
And like Stallion is a guy I like, so you can see how high.
Shibata, yeah, he has really high standards, and
Yeah.
you have to train really, really hard. And that's just the way it is. And
It's
that's,
working
yeah,
though.
well, that's how you get great wrestlers. You have high standards. You can't just go, oh, this guy's fine, we'll sign him. It's like you have to be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, his standards are really high, and it's made a big difference to what we're seeing. And I think the fact that those guys are as good as they are has driven the current crop of New Japan Young Lions to higher standards, because they don't want to be outshined by the Americans, for crying out loud. Like your Amuras of the world don't want to be looking across the ring and going, oh shit, this guy's better than me. He literally has to get better, otherwise he's bringing shame on the New Japan Dojo.
Yeah, I think that was the entire dynamic of this match, and it worked really, really well. I really enjoyed Yota Tsuji in this as well. Again, he's just another pissed off. These are all just six pissed off dudes, upset they didn't get big shots at Wrestle Kingdom, upset that the other dojo seems to be doing better than them, just came out for a fight. It was great, and they kept fighting after the match. I loved that. I loved that so much.
This is something that I could really play off for quite some time.
Yeah. I would happily, you could do like a, they don't do those Lionsgate, Lions Project shows anymore, but I would happily watch a show like that of just LA Dojo versus Japan Dojo dudes.
Quite
Great,
happy.
great stuff.
Maybe have like a tag with the, because you can get Nagata involved because he's basically involved at that end. I guess you'd have like Goto as a Shibata surrogate or something. Do some tags.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Or could stick Kojima in there. It'd be fun. I'd be really interested in watching that kind of interaction. So it's really weird because like quite often New Japan's like the fourth best match on their show is the opener. So like you have the like the big main event matches that have been built to for a while, and then you have whatever the Young Lions are in.
Yeah,
But here
we
they're just the
always say.
second best.
We always say this, but the current crop of young lions are really, really good. I'm sure I've said that for every crop in the last couple of years, but it's just phenomenal. It's just so good.
The standard in that dojo is unreal. And
It's
now
insane.
with it being with them being pushed by the LA Dojo, I think the standard's gonna get even better, which is head spinning.
And we've got, and there's the Fale Dojo sort of ticking away. In a couple of years, we'll probably see people coming out of there and be talking about how great that is.
Yeah, it depends how good the training is. I'm really not that familiar with it, but they've clearly invested a lot of money in it, New Japan, so they want that to be like a third leg. You kind of hope that they want RevPro to be the fourth, but we shall see. I guess they're not too thrilled with what the Portsmouth School has been creating because a lot of those guys are fine, but they're not really blowing people away. Gabriel Kidd is like the obvious exception to that because Shibata liked him so much he's taken him to LA.
Yeah, I think RevPro will be more of a feeder system than a proper school where when they find one or two people they like
You never know.
Phantasmo going to New Japan through there, Zack obviously, Gabriel Kidd is in the dojo now. They've had people move on.
There was another
And
really good match on this show.
which was the big boy tag match.
With Goto and Ishii against Shingo and Evil.
This legitimately might be like the third or fourth best match of this entire weekend.
Yeah, I went like 4.25 on it.
I was four and a half.
Basically, I just wanted them to just hit each other really hard, and I was expecting them to be a spot where everyone hits a lariat, and they did that, and then they just did more as well. And I just, it's one of those matches where I was just screaming with glee. I watched it on my phone. So, like, I was lying on my sofa watching it on my phone, and my wife was at the other end of the sofa. And every now and again, I'd be like, ha. And she's like, what was that? And I'd be like, oh, hang on, let me just wind it back 30 seconds. And it's somebody just getting smashed in the face. I
So
don't think she
good.
enjoyed it as much as me, but it was a lovely time.
Yeah, if these four guys just become the Never Division for the next year, I'll be a happy man.
I just want Shingo to get a push, man. Like, what is the deal with Shingo not getting a push?
I think they might have made a mistake putting him into heavyweight just because the heavyweight division is quite stacked.
Yeah, I guess the
Whereas
idea was you make room for Hiromu at the top. You can't really have Shingo there as well, so.
I guess because you've also got Bushi there as well, so you can't have three juniors.
Yeah, Shingo is so good. And it's getting to the point where, like, every match he's in, he's the star of the match.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who he's in there with at all. He's the kind of guy that you could put him in there with Okada and I could buy him beating Okada because he's just so good. He's so exciting. And yeah, I just want to see him get those big matches. I mean, they will come, but at the
They
moment.
clearly know. They clearly know what they have with him because they pushed him so hard in the juniors and immediately moved him into heavy. So they clearly know this is a guy with something. I reckon he'll have like a year or two in the never. He'll follow the sort of Shibata route where he'll have a never run, maybe win New Japan Cup, and
Yeah, I think
then.
there's a chance of him getting pushed sooner because he's actually signed to them, whereas Shibata they were very reluctant to do anything with because he didn't sign a contract.
Yeah, that's fair. But as soon as he signed the contract, he was pushed to the moon. So I reckon
Yeah.
single, similar-ish path.
Okay. I'm gonna have to wrap up here. I need to go. So you can follow me on Twitter at Arnold Furious and Akhil, you're I can't remember your at.
I'm at AkhilK94.
That's the one. You changed it, didn't you?
Yeah. My pinned tweet, I'm doing a cool little project this year where I'm going to do an ongoing top 100 matches. It's going to be constantly changing. So what's number one, what's number five right now might not be number five 6 months from now. It's a
Okay.
cool idea. Let's see if I keep going.
Yeah, I see that. I'm just looking at it now. Cool stuff.
Yeah, I haven't updated it since Wrestle Kingdom Night 2, so whatever.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on that. And we'll see you next time. I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but I'm sure it'll be fun.
It's always fun. Bye.